We appreciate you tuning in and being a listener for tonight. We also want to thank you because you're subscribing, you're liking us, giving us thumbs up, sharing us through all the social media, through YouTube and also through Facebook. So we appreciate that. Also, if you're a visitor for the first time, you know, what we do have is what we call is Discipleship Wednesday. You know, what we do is we bring the Bible to all our listeners so that way they can think how we should live our daily lives. Not only that, but also to act like Christ. You know, you remember, you know, what would Jesus do? This is what we're trying to do. So that way all listeners know how to act and how to behave, because we are told by Jesus that we're supposed to, you know, be his disciples. And if we're his disciples, we're going to do what he says. When we understand his will for our lives, then we will be able to live better lives for his service. You know, I would like to mention that not too many churches guide or assist all the youth or even our brothers and sisters in their local church, you know, and how to start and develop a relationship with their peers or even their colleagues. They're often misguided through the social media. A lot of them look through Facebook, YouTube, the, you know, different types of TV, movies and any other items that are out there. And they think that that's the way that they're supposed to behave in relationships. So tonight, we have a special presentation for the youth and also the young at heart, being that Sunday is going to be Valentine's Day. So if you notice, Omar and myself, we thought, you know, to bring in red. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have our table set up. So we wanted to have a panel of brothers and sisters who have so graciously accepted our invitation to share part of their lives about how they have lived in Christ while developing and having a relationship with others. Okay, so we're going to introduce our panel in a few minutes, but let's go ahead and pray, first of all. So if we can close our eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, because we know that you love us and we love you as well, because you loved us before we even knew you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for our listeners out there, for those that are tuning in, Lord. We know that they're hungry for your word. They want to know what is the right thing to work for you, to be in good service for you, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit tonight may guide our thinking, may guide the words that we say, Lord. And what we say, it is to bring worship and honor and praise to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because we know that you're going to guide us, and we know that it will be a blessing to not only us here at the studio, but also, Lord, out there, those that are listening to us. In Jesus' name, we ask and we pray for all of this. Amen. Amen. So our panel for tonight, we have Brother Rene and Villarreal and Sister Lupita Villarreal, which we know her here in church as Sister Malu. So we're going to ask her to, or ask them to please introduce themselves tonight.
Amen. Praise God. My name is Rene Villarreal, and I've been serving the Lord for 40 years. Probably all you put together. So I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for inviting us. And I know that, you know, God, it's God's will that we be here. So I'm just asking, you know, the Lord to just bless us today, tonight, you know. And I hope that all of you watching us will know, you know, that God has worked a miracle in us, and he has a plan for our lives. I want to pass it over to my wife.
Okay, sure. Amen. Thank you, brother.
God bless you. I'm so happy that Brother Noyola invited us today, you know, to speak. And I'm happy to give a little bit of our testimony, how we met and all. But I'm just so happy to be here tonight, and it's a joy, and I just want to bless everybody. God bless you.
Thank you. Amen. And now we also, in our panel, we have Pastor Duke Backus and Sister Amanda Backus, and we know her as Sister Mandy. So we would like them to please tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Yes, well, some of you might know who I am. I serve here as the associate pastor here at Rock of Ages, along with my wife, and we're excited to be here. We've been married for 13 years. We've been together in a relationship for over 20, and God's just done a good work in our lives, and so I'm thankful that I got to marry the pastor's daughter. Here you go.
Hi, I'm Amanda Backus, or Mandy, as most of you know me. I'm Pastor Soto's daughter and Sister Irene's daughter as well. We've been they've been here for how long now? It's
27 years.
I know we always lose track on the years, but it's 27 plus years. So I was a pastor's kid here first, and then I met my husband, and we became the associate pastors here, and now we're serving like that as well as along with other ministries and stuff. So we're excited to be here and hope we can be a blessing and encouragement to others.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Backus and Sister, Mandy. And now also on our panel for tonight, we have Sister Bianca Cruz. And we're going to ask her as well to please introduce herself.
Hi. So my name is Bianca Cruz. I've been attending Rock of Ages for 20 years now and been saved about 18 of those years. And I just, you know, thankful for the invitation so I can just share my perspective and, you know, what I believe the Lord has kind of just revealed to me in my years of singleness, and just hope that I can be an encouragement to everybody out there. And thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, sister. You know, so you've already met our panel for tonight, and before this evening, I do want to tell you that we asked our brothers and sisters here at church to submit their questions. So we have assigned some of the questions to our panel for tonight, and they do not know which questions, of course, they're going to be answering, but I know they're going to do a fantastic job because God is going to guide them and the Holy Spirit as well. In addition, we have asked our listeners that if they have a question to please put it in the chat. In, you know, whatever you're viewing us in Facebook or on YouTube, to please do that. And so that way we can ask them while you're listening in. And we will be monitoring the questions to ask our panelists, of course. So let's begin without, you know, further delay with Brother and Sister Villarreal. Well, the very first question, how did you meet each other? And did you pray for your spouse, or was it love at first sight?
Well, I thank God because, you know, I mean, he knows what we need. He will provide all our needs, you know. And fresh out of high school, I remember, you know, I had never gone to a Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to go to a Catholic church every once in a blue moon, you know. But somehow, because God works in mysterious ways, right?
Amen.
And he already has a plan for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. He's already planned everything. So I went, I was told that I could go to Illinois by Chicago and, you know, to find a job outside of high school. So I needed a job. So I went over there. I drove over there not knowing anybody, really, you know. So I did get a job. And while working there, I met this man, you know, a Puerto Rican man. He went up to me, you know, and he said, Oye, chico, tú nunca has sentido que tú necesitas a Dios, chico. You know, I said, yeah, you know, I mean, I knew that I needed God. I had never, you know, I knew there was a void in my heart. And I knew that God, you know, existed. But I was hanging around with a, you know, bunch of other guys that a lot of them were just atheists. They didn't believe, they couldn't care less, you know. But me, I knew that I needed God. I had never had an encounter with him, you know. So in my heart, I would say, well, if I ever, you know, have an encounter with him, if I ever, you know, I know that that I will be satisfied. So he said, he also asked me, have you ever felt like you need God? And I said, yeah, yeah. He said, well, me too. He said, you know, I don't go to any church. But he said, have you ever felt like you want to search for God? And to me, you know, that question, I said, like, yes, I want to do that. And if I don't find him, I will just forget about him forever. I will not even think about him anymore. So he said, I know this church. He says, where, you know, they sing praises, you know, and people are just real happy, you know, they worship God. And some of them even speak in different tongues, different languages. And I'm like, what? I've never even seen that in my life. So he said, why don't we just go this coming Sunday? You know, I've heard a lot of good things about that church. Mm-hmm. It was a tiny little church. The whole thing would have fit in here, you know,
right.
This stadium right now. So, you know, I said, oh, my God, you know, I was excited. But you know that we all know that the enemy does not want you to search for God.
Amen.
So we got to that little church, you know, and there was the pastor, he reminds me of him, you know, very young pastor. You know, he was out, working on his car, you know, in the parking lot. And we went up to him, we introduced ourselves, you know. And I said, well, sir, we just want to see what happens in that church. You know, we're just curious. We're not going to stay. I said, we don't want to stay. You know, we just want to check it out, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, okay. You know, so we went in, we sat in the very back. The people started coming in. So praise and worship started. Very beautiful. I had never heard that in my life, you know. So, you know, they all started singing, you know, and praising God. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, this is awesome. And then, you know, when the pastor made an altar call, you know, I'm like, what? You know, so I'm, and believe this or not, but I'll tell you this, you know, I had an encounter with God. Mm-hmm. Because I could hear the voice of God on one side, but there was another voice on the other side, a horrible voice. The voice was telling me, go ahead, you know, go to the altar. This is why I brought you here, you know. This is why I brought you from so far. So praise God, you know, I'm just so happy that, you know, that I gave my life to the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Brother Villarreal.
Okay. Okay, so this...
the Lord for 42 years, and I just praise God. How I came to the Lord, my father left the family, and so I was my mom was devastated. My brothers, they all got married. They couldn't deal with it. They left. Some of them joined the army, and my sister, she moved to Dallas. She got married at 15, you know, and I said, I can't leave my mom. I have to stay, you know. And my youngest brother, he was 5 years old. And so my mom had a nervous wreck, and she would bang her head on the wall. And I would run to my neighbors. I didn't know what to do. I was in high school. And so I started searching God. You know, I had something in me that I needed, something to fill that void, because I didn't understand. At first, my sister and I would go to my father's where he was, and I would say, why did you leave us? What happened? And he would just look down, and he wouldn't say anything. So I felt that void in me, and I started searching, and I started going. First, I went to the Catholic, because we're Catholics, to those retreats that they have for the youth. It was beautiful, and I received, but then we would have meetings every Monday, and they just were, can I go out with you? You know, stuff like that. I said, this is not for me. I'm not looking for this. I'm looking for God. Yeah, I need peace in my heart. So I started going to the evangelical churches. First, back then, there was a lot of campañas, revivals.
Yes.
And I would go to those revivals, and I loved it. But then I started working at the USDA, and a friend, she was working there. She would always tell me about this little church in Elsa that she used to go. And I would tell her about the revivals. And then I always wanted her to invite me, and she would never invite me. So finally I said, do you have anything for New Year's? And she said, yes. I said, I want to go to your church. And then she said, oh, I didn't know. See, that's important for us to invite, because mm-hmm. sometimes people are hungry. And so I went to Mexico. So every year I would go to Monterrey to see my grandmother, and I would spend Christmas and New Year's. But that year, I asked my aunt, I said, can we come back before New Year's, because I'm going to church? She says, yes. And to me, it seemed like those days were so long. I wanted it for them to get there right away. You know, I was so anxious. So when I came back, I told her, I'm back. And so she picked me up, and it's in Elsa, that little church. And so I went to church, and I loved it. It was so beautiful. And then when they made the altar call, I accepted the Lord as my Savior, you know. And I had already been hearing the word, but this really made an impact in me. So I started going and coming. And then my friend, she got married a few months. And then the pastor says that he wanted me to be the youth leader for the youth. And I said, me? He says, yes. And so I had that passion to serve God. I had no eyes for anything. I just devoted to the Lord 100%. And I did help. And Sister Irene was the youth there, and all the Gonzalez girls. And her parents. That's where I met them. And so, you know, it was beautiful. And I was there for about 10 years. And then that's when my husband, which was, he came to visit at that time. And he came to visit the church. And I didn't say anything or nothing. But, you know, things started. That's where I met him, from church. You know, and then somebody asked me, well, did you pray for that? I was always praying to the Lord. Lord, I want a husband, but I don't want him to be this, and that. I specifically told him how I didn't want, you know, my husband to be. I wanted him to be a Christian, to be passionate for the Lord, and you know, for him to show me. And so I'm so happy that he did, you know. So to not make it long, you know, when I met my husband, later on we'll explain, but I just praise the Lord because I met him there at church.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Malu. And thank you, Brother Villarreal, as well. And thank you for answering the question. So now we're going to go now to Pastor Duke and Sister Mandy.
Omar? Yes. The honeymoon phase of a relationship usually lasts up to 5 years. How have you maintained the spark, or that spark kind of?
Have I done okay? well, definitely, I think, for me, it's always been, trying to do the little things that won her over in the first place, you know, and whether it's just showing appreciation for who she is as a wife and a mom, or it's, you know, just taking time for us, you know, something that, you know, I always told her in the beginning of our relationship when we were wanting to have children was, you know, I think God allowed us to go through a season where we didn't have children yet. Mm-hmm. So first of all, that I could learn how to be the husband that she needed me to be. And when our kids came into the picture too, later on, you know, we just kind of devoted to one another that we knew, like, you know, we started this before they came into the world, you know, so we need to make sure that we maintain this fire. But I think for me, it's always been through trying to, you know, we try to go out, you know, and have date nights. You know, we try to, obviously we haven't been able to do that recently, but just try to have moments where we can, you know, be together and have our own time with one another. Do you want to say? Sure.
For me, I think that, you know, to keep that spark going, it's always exciting in the beginning, right? You're still learning everything about each other, and you've never lived with a person, you know, and so learning all those things, it's an adjustment, and mm-hmm. So it's fun in learning all those things. And I think that, given that it took us a little while to have our children, gave us that time to learn to be together and learn to grow together as adults, you know, and because we were young when we got married, we were 23, right?
You're 23, I was
25. Yes. Oh, I was young. Younger, anyways. And so just spending that time together, getting yourself involved in what they like to do, and not only just saying, well, I'm not interested in that, so let him do it by himself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, it's a, you know, putting yourself in that with them so that you can grow together and start enjoying that together, mm-hmm. as well as them, you know, finding interest in the things that interest you. And because if you don't take that time, then you're going to be spending a lot of time apart. If whatever they're interested in takes them, you know, outside of the house or whatever, you know, that keeps them busy. So it's just finding that middle ground and learning how to be there and supporting one another in those areas. So that way you're able to find that time to spend with each other and to grow.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good advice from both of you. And now we're going to go to Sister Bianca. You know, is asking a person how his relationship is with his or her parents important? And why, or, you know, why is it important? What does it tell you about that relationship that they have with their parents?
Okay, so I absolutely think that's a really important question. And I think how somebody treats their parents is certainly something that you want to, you know, be mindful of and observe, especially for somebody you're dating and considering actually, you know, marrying that person. And you know, we've heard this from the pulpit here at Rock of Ages is, you know, honor thy father and thy mother is the Amen. First one that comes, the first commandment that comes with a promise, right? For it will go well for you. And so just keeping that in mind, and I can understand how some people may have parents that are difficult to honor because you don't know what their past is and you don't know what their experiences are. But there are still ways to honor those parents in a way that is just, one, respectful. So, and just to kind of open that up, I think it's important how somebody you're dating treats other people is very important. You know, not just their parents, but just people they don't know, people they do know, how they treat their friends. Because who they are in public, you know, that's very telling of who they're going to be in private.
Very good answer. I mean, it is important. And I like what you said, you know, honor your father and thy mother. And it doesn't say when to stop. And if they have a good relationship, just like you said, you know, obviously they're going to have a good relationship with you too. So it tells you a lot. I mean, I love your answers, all of you. So we're going to go back to Brother Villarreal and Sister Malu. Another question is, has there been a time when your marriage went through a rough time, a difficult time? How did you overcome it together?
Well, there's been several occasions, you know, when we've gone through a lot, you know. I mean, I think we could write a book what we've gone through. But you know what? God has always been with us. He has never left us. I can remember one time that, you know, my wife was complaining that her stomach was hurting a lot, you know. So, you know, she thought it was maybe acid indigestion or whatever. So I took her to Mexico to one of the doctors there. And the doctor took her in, you know, and he was examining her. And he thought she was pregnant, you know, because her stomach was, you know, blown up. So, yeah. So then he started to take in the, what do you call, the MRIs, right, and all that. And I found out that there was a tumor, a big tumor, like the size of a small watermelon, huge tumor, you know. And he said, well, and over there, they don't hide anything. You know, they tell you, like it is. You know, he says, sir, you know what, he says, this is what your wife is going to go through right now. And he showed us the you know, the x-rays he told. And he said, you need to right now, he says, either go sell your house, sell your car, sell whatever, take her to the emergency right now, you know, either here in Mexico or in the United States. So we came back, and I remember when we finally took her in, and, I mean, right away they knew that she needed, you know, an operation real quick. So they had her in the, what do you call that bed that where they put the gurney, you know, and she was almost under, you know, the anesthesia, whatever. And the nurse said, sir, you better give your wife a kiss because this is very serious. He said, you know, and, you know, a kiss will do many things for your wife, you know. It'll give her the comfort and strength. So I went up to her when she was there on the gurney, and I gave her three kisses, you know. And then the nurse said, sir, you said, I gave her two kisses. And she said, you were going to give her three. I said, yes, but if she wants the third kiss, she needs to come back for it, you know. And praise God, you know, after what's like 6 hours, right, they brought her out, and she was praising God, you know, and thanking God. And she said, that's what this woman's been doing all the time. Yeah. So, you know, I just thank God, you know, for this woman that he gave me. I met her in a little church in Elsa called La Hermosa. You know, that's what it's called. So I know now why they call it, because my wife was there. La Hermosa, you know. And from then on, you know, we started dating. Y luego, pues, finally, you know, we said, well, let's get married. And it was such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. It's been a blessing all this time, you know. We've been married for what, how many years? 38, 35, 30, something like that. I lose count. She remembers. Somebody said, sir, you're just too old. I said, yeah. You know, I am old. You know, I am old. But, I mean, you know, when God said, let there be light, I was there and I turned on the switch. And he said, you're crazy. No, I'm crazy for my wife, you know.
Amen.
A beautiful, beautiful woman, you know, and she's been a wonderful blessing to me. You know, but I told her the other day, you know what? I always want to treat you like a queen because you're always treating me like a king. So guys, you know, you want your wife to, you know, treat you like a king, you need to treat her like a queen.
Amen. Amen.
So praise God, you know, and I just thank God for everything, you know. And that's not just the only time. We've had a lot of rough times in our lives, but God has always got us through.
You well, know, thank you, brother. Thank you for sharing, you know, that difficult time. And you know, you just said that you were there with her throughout the surgery and everything. Not everybody does that. Some have run. Couples have, they can't face it, and they do leave. So thank you. Yes. Sure.
Also, I just want to thank the Lord. When I got out of that surgery, a few days, I was walking little by little because I had a huge surgery. But then 3 days after, I started getting pains in my legs, and I developed blood clots. I didn't know what they were. I just know they were so excruciating pain. And so we went to the doctor, and I wanted them to see me, but they wouldn't see me right away. I had to wait. But finally, when they saw, you need to go to the hospital. So they told me I had blood clots, and I was there for 30 days in the hospital because they couldn't control the level of my blood, you know, so that the blood clots wouldn't move. So this was another episode in our lives that brought me hardship. I was used to working, and from then on, I could not work anymore. And I always had to have my feet elevated, and the minute I would walk, I would get blood clots. And even up to now, I've been getting hematoma. But my faith is in God, you know, and I'm trusting in Him. Amen. And He's the one that has protected me all these years, you know, since then. I think it was in 2001 when I developed that. And so it's been a while that I've been dealing with this. And I just want to thank my husband because he's been there for me and my daughters as well, you know, my family. And, you know, I just, I remember he would take them to school and I would stay there and he would make me breakfast and he would put me in a little table. This is for you to eat. You know, here's your lunch, here's your breakfast so that you, because I had to have my feet elevated. And he was always checking up on me. And I just praise God for that because he's been a wonderful, loving husband, and I love you.
Amen. Thank you for sharing, Sister Villarreal and Brother Villarreal, both of you. And let's go on to the next question. And this is for Pastor Duke and Sister Mandy.
As a couple, what were some specific roles or responsibilities each partner has to fulfill? Do you want me to read it a little bit?
Repeat it again.
Yeah, I'll repeat it. As a couple, what were some specific roles or responsibility that each partner has had to fulfill?
Well, you know, I think there. I mean, there's several, right? There's the day-to-day stuff, right? There's, you know, cutting the grass or, you know, cleaning the home and all that. In our home, you know, we've always kind of, you know, teamed up, you know, because, you know, some days are different than the others, right? You know, some days, you know, we cover for each other. But as far as like specific roles or responsibilities, I know for me, you know, there's certain stuff that I do. I think in the relationship that I, you know, take the lead on, you know, whether it's, you know, cutting the grass or or maintaining our cars or but from a spiritual aspect, you know, just trying to lead my home, trying to be a great example, a good dad to my girls, mm-hmm. obviously a good husband to my wife. You know, I try to do that. I always think back to, you know, scripture, and I think back to how the Lord is a perfect father. And those are big shoes to fill in a home.
Amen.
And I know for me, I've much more recently, I've taken into consideration just what that means and how I can represent that as a husband and as a father to my children. And it definitely kind of makes you nervous at times. But, you know, the Lord has always strengthened us to do those things.
As far as the specific roles, yeah, we've, you know, since the beginning, we've always been a team. Like, he's always been very helpful, you know, as a husband. Like, it wasn't a, oh, I get home, the house needs to be spotless, you know, type of expectation. Mm-hmm. because in the beginning I was working, so we would both come home, you know, after work, and so we'd do it together. We'd clean the house or just do whatever else that we needed to do. And but as after I had our second child, I was, you know, given the opportunity to stay home, and he became the sole income, I guess, from our home. And so me as a stay-at-home wife, I guess I placed a different role on myself now that I'm at home. Now I put it upon myself to, yes, take care of the home and take care of the children and take care of these. Because when he comes home, you want him to be able to come home and just rest and stuff like that. But with children, you know, you all know how it is with kids. It's not the easiest, keeping everything the cleanest.
Right.
And so I'm always very appreciative of him. He's always there, willing to help me. And even when I'm exhausted and, you know, I haven't been able to do something, he comes home and he sees it and he gets it done, you know. And it's something that I'm teaching our children, you know, that to appreciate who he is, you know, and to always give thanks to God for what he's blessed us with, but through him, you know, like it's by God that the blessings come down, but it's through his work that we're able to, you know, have and be where we are and stuff. And so as far as that, it's just, I think for me, it's always been a one-on-one, like a hand-in-hand together, you know.
Amen.
So.
And I like what you all said. You know, it's teamwork. It's both of us together. You're equally yoked. That's what came to mind, that you're pushing forward together. It makes your load much easier. It's not as difficult. And there are times that probably you need to pull by yourself, but you know I can count on him or her. So that's perfect. I mean, perfect example. Thank you. And now we're going to go to Sister Bianca. Another question for her is, how can I make the most out of my singleness right now? If they're single out there, what are some things that they can do? And so I'll leave it up to you, sister.
Okay. So this is one of the questions I actually had some good time to actually think about and kind of ponder. And so I kind of came up with two different things. And it's kind of just somewhat general, but it's important to be about the Father's business. And so how can you make the most of your singleness? Just be about God's business. Don't hyper-focus on what you don't have, whether that's a spouse. Focus on what God has for you and what your purpose is. And I'm reminded of, for those of you who know who Christine Kane is, she always kind of says, you were made on purpose for a purpose.
Amen.
And
amen.
So keeping that at the forefront of your mind, I think, is a very important, I mean, not just for single people, but people who are married as well, is just keep God's purpose at the forefront of your mind every day. And, you know, spending time in the Word, developing healthy habits, like, you know, praying, getting into the Word, because I've heard from many married people is once you get married and you have kids, sometimes you kind of miss the quiet time you were able to have, and you kind of have to go hide in the bathroom or the closet to just to have some peace and quiet away from the children. And you're just kind of like, Lord, I would really love to just get into your Word right now. But, right. You know, you have other, just other people who need you. And I think it's also find opportunities to serve others, whether that's in the church, in your community. What is it that you love? What are your talents? Because at the end of the day, we all know that when we stand before the Lord, he's given us three things, right? That's your time, your money, and your talents. And so when you stand face to face before God, he's going to ask you, how did you use those things to advance my kingdom? And so once again, being a kingdom minded and being about the Father's business, you can, that's certainly one thing that you can do in your singleness for sure. And, you know, be encouraged in your faith. You know, if you're praying for a spouse, you know, stand in faith that, you know, it's going to happen. But at the same time, live your life. Like, your life doesn't start when you get married. Your life is like right now, today, because all I'm promised is today. So what am I doing for God today? And so I heard this once in a podcast, and I thought it was just really important. It kind of got me thinking, where it said, if at this moment, this very moment, you were told you were not going to get married, like if you knew and, you know, you had that revelation, mm-hmm. what would you do? How would you move forward? And so I think just kind of towing that line of being prayerful and, you know, having that desire and praying and asking other people to pray for you, but also balancing, you know, what am I doing today? And what does God have for me right now? Because he does have something. Amen. You know, he's not forgotten me. He's not going to forget me. And so those are just two different things that I kind of thought about.
I mean, well thought out, Sister Bianca. I mean, really good answer. Mm-hmm. And I like what you said. You're living today. Don't wait to live until you find a spouse or anything else. So in the meantime, work for the Lord. I mean, beautifully said and stated. Okay. I know this is a blessing, guys. I don't know, but I'm hearing you all, and I know it's a blessing for me. It's affirmation as well. You know, hey, I do that too, or that's happening in my household. So wonderful answers. We're going to go to our brother and Sister Villarreal. And how have you maintained your Christian marriage? Or what are the things that you do at home to maintain it, right?
Well, I believe, you know, that we need to always keep Christ, you know, first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to serve him in everything we can, you know. I mean, I've gone through Bible school, I've married, married, you name it. So I try to keep myself busy with the Lord, you know. I try to serve as much as I can. Because I believe, you know, what Christ said, you know, that he came to serve, you know, not to be served. So we try to do that, you know, and we do everything together, you know. So, you know, everything we do, come to church or whatever, it's always together, you know. Mm-hmm. And everything, Christ first, the Lord first, you know. And I know that he's the one who has blessed us so much. I mean, we are blessed. I just wanted to say this before I hand the mic to Malu. You know, when she was in the hospital, it was like about a month, I think. It was like $85,000 to $86,000 that we owed, you know. And so I said, well, let's work something out, you know, so we can go and, you know, make maybe a payment every month, $20, $30, whatever, you know. And I remember we went to the office, you know, and we're going to give her a payment. I don't remember how much. But she said, you know what? You don't owe anything.
You know? Hallelujah.
I said, wow. What? I said, I mean, God. Who paid it? He said, well, we don't know. He said, we're going to, you know. But I thank God for that beautiful miracle, you know, because that gave us, you know, a lot of hope, you know, and a lot of strength. So I know that God is with us.
Amen.
He's with us all, you know.
Amen.
And he will provide for us. He will provide. And, you know, God works in mysterious ways. You know, like I said, you know, we came back. When I came back from over there, I visited that little church. I had never gone in. But, you know, I said, well, I'll take my sister with me, you know, because I don't know what I'm going to find there, you know. But that's where she was, you know, and that's where we met. And, I mean, it's been a blessing. Praise God.
Amen. So I just want to add on the way we've kept our relationship in Christ. We do, like he said, we do everything together, and we always pray. There's a situation that sometimes we face, and we always bring it in prayer together. And we come in agreement, and we always hold hands, and we pray. And, you know, I just love it. You know, whenever mm-hmm. there's any circumstances, we always bring it to the Lord first, and then and just wait on it. We just wait. Wait for the Lord if it's a yes or no, you know. And the Lord has always been yes. He's always been there for us, you know. And I just praise God because I would ask the Lord, Lord, I want a husband that's a Christian that will help me, you know, and I will help him. And that's the way it's been, you know. And so mm-hmm. I just thank God. And I would just like to add on that for anybody out there to look for, that's looking for a husband, ask the Lord to bring him to you, you know, and to be a Christian. And it's the most wonderful blessing as a couple, for all couples, when your spouse is a Christian and you do things together and with God in the middle of it. you know, this, there are some situations that you go through problems, but together you, we can manage it, and the Lord is there.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Malu and Brother Villarreal for sharing that. We're going to go on to Pastor Duke and Sister Mandy. We're going to ask you a question, and then after that, I'm going to pass it on to Omar because questions are coming in that they want to specifically ask you, okay? So I just want to prepare you ahead of time, but just to let you know. They're not difficult questions, however. don't get too nervous.
Too much, yeah.
But a question for Pastor Duke and Sister Mandy is, once you started to have children, was there a change in your spouse or yourself? And how did you overcome or adjust as soon as children started coming in? Okay.
Well, I know, I was 29 when our first daughter was born, Layla was born, and it was a big adjustment. You know, I had never held a newborn up until that time, so I was like, oh, you know, and so I know for me, kind of coming from the background that I have, and my biological father wasn't in my life, it was it was nerve-wracking to say the least, because I wanted to do everything right. And one of the biggest things I think was protecting my children. Mm-hmm. I'm a big protector. You know, some people might say, you know, overbearing, or I get nervous when they climb on the monkey bars. You know, that's something that's very big for me. And so I know for me, I think instantly, you know, I kind of switched into dad mode. I don't even know how that happened. But I remember when Layla was born, and they just handed me, you know, they handed her to me. And I remember I was in the operating room, and I was just like, whoa, this is happening. And she was crying, and she instantly stopped. And I think it was just a little bit of confirmation from the Lord to say, like, you know, you can do this. Mm-hmm. I've prepared you for this. You know, your time for this is now. And so I know it kind of changed me in that way, that I had to learn how to, you know, do all these things at once. But, you know, the Lord's been with me the whole time.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Sister?
I think, I don't want to say that we became more attentive, because we were always aware and, you know, doing things. But I think that, yeah, when you bring home a child, and a child that you prayed for a long time, you know, because we did struggle having our children, to actually take them home after so long of, you know, praying for them, and it does change you, you know, and for the better, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, one, we were just so thankful and in awe of what God had done for us, you know, and we wanted to make sure that we took care of that child. Mm-hmm. As much as we prayed for her, that we showed God how much we appreciated her, you know, and we were going to take care of her the way, you know, he has entrusted her in our hands.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, he became more, you know, can I help you with this? Can I do that? And can, you know, it was more of like, you know, before children, I was like, hey, babe, can you, you know, get me something to drink, or can I have more water? Okay. And it wasn't like an instant, like, bam, you know, let me go get the water. You know, it was, let me put my stuff down and then I can go get it for you and stuff. But, you know, when the baby was here, it was like, oh, babe, I need her bottle. And he's like, okay, like, where is it? And he'll go get it. Or I need a pamper and I need this. And, you know, so it was a lot quicker response, if I can say that. But as far as with each other, it, you know, we grew an appreciation for each other, because we needed each other that much more so now that mm-hmm. we had our mm-hmm. child. So
beautifully expressed, because I like what you just said at the very end, you know, you needed each other even more. This is a time that both of you had to even come together and do more for each other, because it's not easy, right? It's not easy for those that have children, right? And so thank you for sharing that. Now we're going to go to the questions that the audience is asking us. So I'm going to go over with Omar, and Omar, he's going to let you know who they're assigned to, okay?
Yep, okay. So this first one is not really directed for anyone specifically. It's just for both couples. And, well, I'll ask both questions, because they're pretty similar. So the first question is, has there been a time when a spouse has become overbearing? How did you overcome it? Okay, and so then the second question, How do you deal with anger from your spouse, if any? As a Christian couple, is it normal or okay to experience your partner getting angry often? So does anybody want to take a crack at that one?
Couples?
I'll take a crack at it. My wife never gets angry, okay? So no. I think when it comes to the anger part, everyone gets angry. So it's mm-hmm. not, let's not try to pretend like every marriage is perfect. Everyone has moments of anger. And the key, though, is what James, I believe, said in the scripture, to not let the sun go down in your wrath. That is to not stay angry. In relationships, I believe that we can, all kinds of things can trigger an angry emotion, right? You know, whether it's, you know, you're hungry and, you know, there's no food ready or something or what have you. But I think the key is not that people are going to get angry. It's how you handle the anger. And in a healthy relationship, there might be moments that someone's angry, you know, your spouse might be angry for whatever reason. The key, though, is to settle the matter. It's always to settle the matter. It's to reason with one another. It's to say, you know, to communicate why there was anger in the first place, and always to bring it before the Lord so that there can be clear communication on, you know, how not to kind of, you know, get that response again. Mm-hmm. And so I believe it's important always to just, you know, lovingly communicate, you know, whatever the issue was, so that there can be a clear understanding of maybe an expectation or a just desire to see something happen so that maybe those things don't happen in the future, you know. But it's always, like, you know, important that, you know, we don't stay angry. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. my wife and I, you know, sure, we've gotten angry at each other, more probably her towards me than me towards her. She's a really good wife, trust me. But there's those times where, yeah, you know, you're going to have a dispute. It's how you handle that. You know, I always remember, you know, the verse in Isaiah that says, "Come now and let us reason together," says the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to, as married couples, as believers, first and foremost, but as people that have made a covenant to walk in this life together, we have to reason with one another. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the devil gets a foothold sometimes, because of pride. People don't want to reason anymore, and it's always a my way or the highway kind of thing. And so we definitely need to put our pride aside and say, you know, communicate whatever the issues are and learn to reason with one another. Did I say it good, honey?
Yes. I think that, like you said, every couple has their moments. You know, there's no perfect couple. You will have your arguments. You'll have the days where it's either with each other or even they come home, you know, being upset and it's not with you. Mm-hmm. But it is something that I think you have to take a step back, and instead of heating, like making, what's the word? Like making it worse than what it is, mm-hmm. you know, you have to take a step back and say, okay, you try to listen to what they're trying to tell you. In that moment, may it be in anger, but you need to listen to what's behind it, saying what, you know, what caused it. And that way, you know, you are able to talk about it and you are able to resolve it, you know, as much as you can. And just for me, it's always praying that you have understanding and you have patience and you have wisdom on how to handle everything in life. And that goes with, you know, arguments in your home or with your spouse. And it's just always trying to remain calm and not, you know, who's going to beat their chest harder, like, you know, who's going to have the last word, you know. Exactly. And because in that way, if that's what you're doing, no one wins. Yeah. You'll end up, you know, damaging your marriage more than anything else. And coming back from that is a lot harder if you just choose to, you know, take a step back and calmly listen to what your spouse is trying to say and then go from there.
Amen. Well said. And I like the scripture verses that you use, Pastor Duke. You know, and another one came to mind that, you know, everyone does get upset. Just do not sin, right? Do not go that far. Yes, we get angry, but I like what you both were saying. You know, let's talk it out. So we can, you know, what don't you like? How can I improve? How can I do it better? And it's when coming together is what is the key. And so you beautifully said, well said. So thank you. Okay. And next question.
Next question. All right. This is, I think, towards Bianca. Yes, it is. Okay. How does a young woman find a young man that respects and values her?
I think that needs to first start with the woman understanding that she is worthy of respect and she is valued.
Okay.
I think as this is probably something that probably all women struggle with is, you know, are you good enough? You know, are you pretty enough? Are you whatever enough? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many just pressures in society to either tear you down or just tell you that you're not good enough in whatever way. And so I think taking those insecurities to scripture and reminding yourself, like, who does God say I am? Because above all, that's the most important thing. So I think when a woman understands that she is valued and that she is worthy of respect, then she can use that wisdom to discern a man's motives, and also just asking questions of someone, either you're dating or even just if you're in a group, you're in a friend group, observing people and how they treat one another. I think if anybody else has anything to add, but I think it all pretty much starts with the woman valuing herself and respecting herself.
Exactly. And that is so true. And society, they want to tell us what is valued. And God tells us that what he values is humility. He values that you put others in first before yourself. Totally different. And sometimes that's where we fail. And we are listening to the world or what society says or what the media says and what you hear out there, what you read. And that's not what it's all about. And I like the way you said it. That, you know, it's first valuing who you are. Who are you for the Lord and everything else, right? So thank you. Well said. Well thought out. One more?
Okay. The next question. This is towards the couples again. As a couple, have you had an instance where you resisted temptation together?
So, repeat it again.
Yeah.
That one's kind of hard.
Yeah, it's a little bit more. Yeah, okay. As a couple, have you had an instance where you resisted temptation together?
I know I can answer that. You know, because, you know, the question's not temptation specific, but whether it was, you know, resist the temptation to respond to criticism.
Okay.
Whether it was the temptation to not eat, you know, chocolate cake during our fast, you know, absolutely. You know, absolutely. I think we've definitely gone through that. But as a couple, how can we resist temptation together? I think it's always being, the Bible says that when you get married, it's the two becoming one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That means that there has to be now a singleness of you know, kind of viewpoint and perspective, and certainly just everything that Christ is, it now becomes one in us. And so when it's resisting temptation, you know, as a couple, it first starts with our relationship together in Christ. It has to start from that point. You can't resist temptation, I think, separately in a way, because as a married couple, we're supposed to operate as a unit, you know, as a team. Everything's supposed to, you know, kind of fluidly, you know, go together. And so, you know, I think to answer the question, you know, how can we resist temptation, you know, towards a certain issue? It's always knowing what the word says about the issue. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. For us, you know, there's things that we haven't responded to, whether it was, you know, criticism of us or a family or something like that. And there's things that we know that the Word says, first and foremost, about the issue that will stop us from wanting to take the bait from the enemy. And so I think it's just important that you know the Word. Mm-hmm. It's important mm-hmm. that you know it as not only individually, but obviously as a couple, so that we can strengthen one another to stand up against anything the enemy would try to throw our way.
Amen. Sister, you want to add to it?
No.
Okay, well said. Okay.
Brother Vega, Sister Malou, would you like to place anything?
Well, we know that there is an enemy out there that will always be tempting us, right? We know that the more you get into the Word and the more you serve God, you become like, like a blank, where the devil wants to get you. Mm-hmm. But I believe also that that everybody is tempted, I mean, even Christ was tempted. Eve was tempted, But we have Christ that can help us, If we turn to Him, and as a couple, we should help each other. We should, encourage each other not to go that route, because we know that it'll only lead to, to destruction, basically, So we know that Jesus is with us. So anytime temptation comes, we can always call to Him, and He will always help us. Mm-hmm. So, I think the more you serve God, and the higher you get, the more the devil wants to, get to you. It's like they say, right, the higher level, the bigger devil, or something like that, But I believe also that God is with us all the time, And nobody, I think, gets away without being tempted.
Amen.
Everybody is tempted. But we know that we have a Lord that can help us to all of that. Mm-hmm. So, sometimes we're weak. People are weak sometimes, and we give in, right? Mm-hmm. But the Bible says, be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
Be strong in Jesus, and He will always get us out of there.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for sharing. And thank you for answering that question, because it's a heavy question, that one. And, sometimes it's not easy. We struggle. And like you said, even Jesus was tempted. And but if we call on the Lord, He will be there for us. We're going to go now to Sister Bianca. We have a question for you. What should I look for in a person who wants to be my friend? That he or she says, I want to be your friend. And then what would you say what are some things that they can look for?
So I'm going to just go ahead and assume that question is probably like for the opposite sex or something like that.
Okay, sure. And basically that's what it is. And this is a relationship. Why don't you go for the male, and then if you want to look at a female, you can do both.
So what should I look for in a person who wants to be my friend?
Right.
I think it's important to know what your non-negotiables are. And so if this is a relationship that is a potential dating relationship, probably the number one non-negotiable is going to be make sure the person is a believer. And then from there, I think, people are kind of, different. And maybe there are some similarities. But just know what you're about. And so if this is somebody who is, let's say this is just somebody you're meeting and they kind of just ask you out on a date. I mean, first dates, right? I don't think there should be a lot of pressure personally for a first date, because you're literally just getting to know somebody.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be this, they're not asking you to marry you, right? They're just asking you out for coffee. They're just asking you out to go to, lunch or something. So I think it's in that stage, I think you should just probably, give people a chance. Don't make it so, don't make it awkward.
Right.
You're just getting, you're going to get to know somebody, and that's perfectly fine. And if you're not interested in a second date, that's okay. If they're not interested in a second date, that's okay too. So as far as like first dates, I just don't think you should put a lot of pressure on it, but know what you're about and know what your non-negotiables are.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good answers. We're going to go now with Brother and Sister Villarreal. And the question is, what word would describe your marriage if there was a word that you could say, this is what we are, what is it, and why did you choose that word? I don't know. It's kind of...
I think the word would be love. Because, you know, we care so much for each other. And especially now, right, that I mean, we're just there in the nest. Nobody there. Yeah, they all flew away. Praise God. But you know what? I mean, but we still love each other, you know, because love can never fail you, right? Mm-hmm. Love is stronger than anything. It's more powerful than anything.
Amen.
So we have that love and that love that God has put in our hearts. So I believe, you know, that I can't see myself without her, you know. And she probably feels the same way, you know. We're so used to each other. She can even read my thoughts.
we're a single flesh.
And she is so helpful. You know, things that I can't do, you know, like she does a lot of the finances, you know, because she's smart, you know. Mm-hmm. But I do a lot of the honeydews. So, you know, the word would be love, I think. That's the only thing I can think of.
Okay, thank you.
For me, it would be caring, because I have seen him care so much for the family and for me. And to me, that's what I would describe it. And sometimes, sometimes, how can I say it? Like, I see certain things a certain way, and he sees it a different, but I need to calm down a little bit sometimes, you know. And because he's very caring and loving, you know, and I said, you know, he's way up here for me, you know, but the Lord gave him to me. And so the way I would describe him is caring, because he has a lot of care and love and understanding.
Amen.
For me. It would be that.
Thank you for sharing that, sister. I appreciate that. And now we're going to go out to Pastor Duke and Sister Mandy. You know, timing is very important to God, timing. And what two events or any event has God placed in your lives at the perfect time, and why? Let me repeat it again. You know, timing is very important to God. Timing. What events has God placed in your lives at the perfect time, and why?
I'll answer one, and then I'll let my wife answer one. I have one in mind, and that's... I believe it was when I met her and met the Lord almost at the same time. I moved from, you know, Boise, Idaho, located down here in the valley, at 15 years old, in a incredibly difficult time in my life. Most of you know my testimony, but, you know, in a year's time, I relocated. You know, parents were divorced shortly before that. My grandfather died. My stepbrother was in a horrible accident, and it was just a whirlwind of emotions for me. Mm-hmm. And I met her, and it was God put her in my life. And I always say this, I'm a minister now, but she ministered to me through so many difficult moments, like right at the get-go, at the beginning of our relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I know, you know, it's different for everyone. You know, some people get married later on in life. Some people meet their spouse early on. And for me, it was at that time. God just knew that this person needed to be there for me at that time. And she saved me a million times from giving up on God and from, you know, wanting to move back and kind of almost, you know, wanting to abort God's plan for my life. And so I believe that was the perfect timing of God that I met her when I did.
So in essence,
she's awesome. She's awesome.
In essence,
what can I say?
She rescued you.
She did. She did. Because, you know, almost a month to the day, I gave my heart to the Lord in March of 98. And April 16th of 98 was when we officially committed to one another in, couldn't date yet, but really liking each other.
So, Sister Mandy, the question stands, right? What event has God placed in your life at the perfect time, and why?
That's a hard one, I think, because there's, you know, been several occasions. But I think the biggest one that, like, impacted me personally was, and together, of course, was us, you know, wanting children and praying for children for, mm-hmm. what, over, like, 3 years?
Yeah.
You know, and almost 4 years. And, you know, the why is a why, God, why isn't it happening now? And why can't I have, you know, you say you grant us the desires of our hearts. You know what mine is. Like, why isn't it coming now? And God's timing in all of that was to teach us something. And that was to teach us patience and to teach us and to remind us who he is, and that no matter what, he always fulfills his promises. And, you know, I believe that we went through all of that in the struggles and the all the negative pregnancy tests and all our friends having babies after babies. And you know, as excited as we were for them and happy and rejoicing with them, we were sad inside ourselves for not having that ourselves. And mm-hmm. and I believe that God's timing in all of that was to grow us in that area, because I believe that now, having gone through that, we are able to share that testimony with those that are struggling in that area as well. Because had I not gone through that, I wouldn't be able to share that with a friend or somebody else who's experiencing not having a child, mm-hmm. and experiencing that hurt and that, you know, feeling all those emotions. And so even through that pain came the beauty of it, and that God's always there, and he fulfills, and he keeps his promises to you, not according to your time, but according to his. And all of that just ties in so that way you can be an extension of his hand and his understanding and sharing that with others and in their journey that they're going through.
Amen. I like that you said that, because we sometimes don't know what why we're going through that difficult time, you know. And it's good after we've gone through it to say, I know why. But it's a good testimony to everyone, because we have several, and I think they just even mentioned on Sunday that someone couldn't have children and now she is expecting. So that's a beautiful, you know, again, testimony for those that are still looking for a child. And God can make miracles. And we just need to have the faith and the trust that he's going to do it, right? Okay, we're going to now, there's another question, but we're going to open it up to all of you, because let's see how we can answer and help this sister. It's a sister, and she says, I'm going out with a man of God at this time, okay? He attends a different church. He would like to attend my church, which is this church. However, my previous boyfriend came to church with me. It was one. It has been 8 months since the last time he was with me. I do not feel comfortable with my current boyfriend now attending the same church. I have been praying about it. Please let me know what I should do. And, you know, she's asking for guidance, for help. And I kind of want to say you're experts. I'm listening to what you're saying, you know, what you've gone through. And I think we can answer this all together to help this sister. And she attends our church. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, she didn't know how to ask, but we kind of, you know, helped her put it together, and this is the question. So how, any of our panelists?
I think I'll share just a little bit. I know, I can imagine, you know, there's some uncomfortability there, because, you know, she's moved on to a different relationship.
Right.
But we don't come to church for others. Mm-hmm. We come to church for the Lord.
Right.
And I believe it's really important that if she's, you know, been planted here by the Lord, and she believes obviously the Lord is ministering to her life through this ministry, through this church. It's important that she doesn't let, you know, a thing like uncomfortability, you know, get in the way from her staying planted here. I've seen that happen over the years where, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it's a divorce or just a relationship kind of thing, and people will leave the church, and I feel it's important for them to understand that unless God is moving you. Mm-hmm. You see, and people, I think, put a lot of words in God's mouth sometimes. And they say, oh, well, it's of the Lord. You know, unless God is moving, you don't move. Mm-hmm. You know, and stay planted, because I think it's foolish to think that you can uproot a plant multiple times and expect it to continue to thrive and grow.
Right.
So my advice to this sister would be to stay planted regardless of uncomfortability, mm-hmm. and stay focused on the Lord. You're here. Mm-hmm. You're here for the Lord. You're here for Jesus. You're here to learn from His Word, experience in His presence, and just you know, to stay rooted here despite. Despite the relationship thing, I think it's important to keep her relationship with the Lord first and foremost at priority.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Duke. Sister?
Sure, I can
try. It looked like you wanted to.
I'm kind of like just thinking about how I would phrase what I'm thinking.
Okay. Do you need a little bit of time?
No, I think I can. I think I can kind of work through this. I think it's first important to acknowledge that the previous relationship ended for a reason.
Right.
Mm. And, you know, whatever happened, whether it was an amicable breakup or a not so amicable breakup, you know, it's been 8 months, so hopefully there has been forgiveness on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's worried about making her ex-boyfriend feel awkward, I would say, look, you're in a new relationship. And that needs to be the priority, because you're in the process of seeing if it's going to, you know, if this is going to lead to marriage. Mm-hmm. And so you need to focus on the relationship that you have at hand. And if you probably need to discuss this with your current boyfriend, what you're feeling, because you guys need to make a decision together and pray about it together.
Amen.
And see where God really is leading both of you, whether it's to both come and, you know, be planted at this church, or if it's at a different church. But, you know, just to echo Duke's sentiments, it's we come to church for the Lord.
Amen.
And so if this is where she's being spiritually fed,
mm-hmm.
and this is where she is growing,
right?
And, you know, I don't know how she would feel about the other church. You need to go where you're growing and where you're being fed.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Mm-hmm. And I just want to add, because I just looked at the time and we're about through, but I just wanted to add, because one of the questions that was addressed to Pastor Duke and Sister Mandy was about timing. You know, maybe it's not God's timing for you to bring that person in here. And I want to, first of all, I should have said this, you know, I agree with both of you. You need to be planted. Mm-hmm. And where God plants you and where you stay, then it's probably not time for that person to come over here yet. And the reason I say that is because when you are going to become one, if I could say that, you know, there shouldn't be any embarrassment. There shouldn't be anything, because we are one flesh. We are one person. And I just want to quickly say, when I got married, I was not embarrassed, you know, at all. Because this is the one you choose, I guess, right? And I guess when you get to that point, you'll know when. And maybe it's not the time. Maybe you're not ready. He's not ready, maybe. And sometimes I've seen that in couples. She might be ready, but he's not. And that's why he hasn't come in yet. Wait. You know, I've said that to even some of my people that have asked that same type of question. I said, wait, he's probably not ready for you yet. You're ready. You just need to ask God to give you peace and tranquility and you know, patience, because God is not ready with him yet. When he's done, that person will come into your life. So, you know, I just wanted to add that maybe the timing is not there yet. Just wait, sister. But yes, I agree with both of you. Stay there, be fed, be planted, and let's grow, right? And God will give you that person. If it's that person, he'll come in at the perfect time. No problem. Wow, that is a lot, guys. We spent about an hour and 15 minutes, believe it or not. Good questions, good answers. We appreciate our audience, our listeners, the ones that have been tuning in through either YouTube once again or through, yes.
Oh, yeah, we have one more question.
Oh, one just came in. Is that okay? Do you want to answer this panel? Okay.
Yeah. I guess it could be a good thing to kind of sum up tonight. And so I kind of just adjusted the question a little bit. Sorry for the one that asked it. But the last question is, what is the biggest lesson you've learned from marriage? They kind of said in marriage, but I kind of want to open it up to everyone. It's like, what have you learned from your marriage and other people's marriages that kind of stands out to you? Not all at once, guys. Well, no, it's just, it's for everyone.
I think you learn while you're growing, And marriage is, of course, it's sent by God because God authorized marriage, right? It's an institute. It was instituted by God, right? So we need to know that God has the right timing, the right plan, All of us, God has a plan for us, mm-hmm. right? Even before the creation of the world, He already had a plan for us. He knows what's good for us, and He knows what, will benefit us. So the biggest lesson I think that I've learned is that my wife, she's a very good cook. And, she's very devoted to the Lord. When I met her, she was on fire for the Lord. And when I went in there, I met her, I said, wow, this is the one I want. Because I, like her, I had been praying to God, give me a partner, give me a woman, that can help me to grow and to continue, serving you. And she had the same feeling too. She had the same thoughts,
Amen.
So from there, we met, and we started dating and all. And then, the Lord said, okay, it's time for you to get married. So I said, okay, praise God. And it's been an adventure, there's nothing dull, or annoying or anything that I know in our marriage. Of course, we all have different thoughts, but she's different from me. But, it all comes together. Eventually, it all comes together, Amen. And the Bible says that when we get married, we become one flesh, right?
Amen.
Yeah, praise God. So, it says the woman should be subject to the husband, right? And the husband, love your wife, like Christ loved the church.
Amen.
And He gave His life for the church. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I know, that God has a plan for everybody. And sooner or later, He's going to bring it to pass. So I would only say, that you will learn as you grow in marriage.
Amen.
And let love grow even higher and higher and higher.
Amen.
Well said. Yes. So when a couple gets married, I have ideas. He has ideas. But together we learn. Together in Christ we learn, and the experiences that we share makes us grow every year long more and more. And we're still growing,
Mm-hmm.
I think it never ends, but the main thing is to have Christ in our lives.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Amen. Brother.
Yes. I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned in marriage is it's just sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You referred to the scripture, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, Christ gave all.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest lessons I've learned, and I teach in marriage counseling now, is you cannot make your spouse do anything. You can't kind of force anything from them. And so that's where sacrifice comes into the point, because the truth is as a husband, my job is to be the husband she needs me to be.
Amen.
Be for her,
mm-hmm.
not try to make her be the wife I want her to be. And I believe when we honor the Lord that way, the response comes in return, and so there's sacrifice in everything that we do, whether it's, what TV show we want to watch, or what we want to eat, for dinner, we have to always have that, willingness to say, hey, you know, if that's what you want to do, you know, or if that's what you want to have, you know, let's do that, you know, because I believe that honors the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
I think for me, the biggest thing that I've learned personally for me is learning how to lean on Him. I'm the type of person that tends to internalize things. Like when I'm going through things, I just, it's in my mind and I think about it and I try to, you know, I pray to the Lord and I do what I need to do because of what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it, you know, in the beginning, it was hard for me to share that with Him, thinking, oh, He may not understand why I think this way or what I'm thinking and how, you know, it's making me feel. So I would just keep it in with, you know, by myself and try to handle it, I guess, if you want to say, on my own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Him, he can talk, right? So he likes to share and he likes to, you know, he's always sharing with me what he feels. And, you know, and I've always, you know, tried to be there for Him and I listen to Him and, you know, and we'll pray and everything. But when it came to me and things that I was going through, I tended to hold on to that myself. And He's shown me and He's opened me up to know that I have that in Him, that we are able to lean on one another. And not only Him leaning on me, but He's there for me and He wants to be there for me. And that's the most important thing, is that the want is there. Mm-hmm. And it's letting that go and being able to say, okay, let me share this with you. And in turn, you not only get that release, that relief, you know, of what you're going through, but He's able to, you know, pray with me and help me through what it is that I was internalizing. And so for me, again, the biggest lesson that I learned was to open up myself, to lean on somebody else and not just think that I have to deal with it on my own.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. So. Well, I want to thank all of you. It's a great big thank you from me for allowing this to happen, you know. And I know that it was a blessing to me. And like I said, you know, as you were sharing, all of you, it was like, yes, and I could connect. So I'm pretty sure that the ones that are listening to us, they could connect. And they wanted to know more. But because of time, we had to cut short. But, you know, at this time, I want to thank you. And we have a special little gift before you all leave, because we appreciate the time, your experiences, and whatever you've gone through, they're going through as well. They want to know how you all resolved it. So thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for your time with us. And now that I said time, at this time I have a special announcement for our listeners and viewers. You know, starting this Sunday, which is Valentine's Day, we will be having Sunday school once again at 9:30 in person. And there will be classes for the adults, for high school, middle school, and also for children 11 to 5 years old. And we will be asking everyone to please continue to follow the CDC guidelines for everyone's safety. And we invite all of you. If you're listening to us, if you're watching us, because I know that there were some new ones watching us, they let us know that they were going to, you're superstars, guys. So they were going to be watching you because they wanted to know, who are you? What type of people are you? So thank you for sharing that once again. You know, and also I wanted to share that the church will be open on Wednesday nights for Bible study with Pastor Duke Backus. You know, there will be praise and worship followed by the Word of God. And we also continue to ask to please follow the CDC guidelines as well. And it's going to be open. And I encourage all of you to come in and, of course, to be part of the body of Christ. And when we come together, you know, we, of course, unify in our knowledge and we grow spiritually and maturely in Christ. And that's our whole objective. So we invite you all for these two occasions, Sunday school on Sundays and also Wednesday, the doors will be open. So with that, we'll go ahead and pray. And for any, of course, if there's any needs or illnesses out there or any relationships that need to be mended or anything that God needs to do, we're going to pray for that. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful time that you have blessed us, that you have allowed our brothers and sisters to share, Lord, to share the goodness, to share their experiences, what brought them together, that you were always moving in their hearts and their minds, and that you wanted to teach us something. Also, Lord, for those that are single out there, that, you know, what can we do for you right now? We thank you, Lord, because you have taught us so much in such a short amount of time. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit may continue to, you know, remind us of what has been said, what has been said to honor, to praise you, and to worship you for your goodness towards us, and that you have are always with us. You've never left us alone. Lord, that we, and I like what has been said, that we live for you every day. We don't just wait for occasions or for special things. We live for you on a daily basis, Lord. For those that are hurting, for those that are ill, that those that are hurting spiritually, emotionally, Lord, you heal them. Lord, that you comfort them, you embrace them, Lord, love them. For Valentine's Day is love, and we didn't get to that, but we know that because you loved us so much, you died on the cross for us, that you gave your life for us, and you loved us first before we loved you. We thank you for that. Those that need healing, in the name of Jesus, you heal them. Touch them, Lord, wherever they're at, in the bedroom, living room, wherever they're at, Lord, listening to us at this time. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus, and bless each one of us there at the house, and here is us as well, that we go to our places, our homes, safe and secure. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Once again, we thank you for tuning in, for listening to us, and we'll see you next Wednesday and, of course, on Sunday morning. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.